Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you tonight for the fact that you have invited us to approach your throne of grace in the hour of need. And Lord, we thank you that you are available to us to come to you and to cry out to you in times of need and weakness. And we pray, Lord, that we would truly do that, that we would feel our dependence upon you, that we would be drawn or driven to you in times of need. We pray now that you would help us as we look into your word, that you would encourage us by what we study tonight in Proverbs, and we would ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We are looking tonight at Proverbs 15:19, and it was interesting the last time I taught, it was a couple of weeks ago, on Proverbs 14:12, and that was that there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And we went into some detail of the word way, and it's funny, Kevin and I were talking about, I just could not seem to get away from the word way. It just seemed to keep coming up with the word way. Well, frequently it's used in Scripture to denote an avenue or a path, a course or a habit or a direction or our walk. And there are several examples were used, such as the way in which the Israelites should walk in Exodus chapter 18, verse 20, following another's example of both the good and bad, and asking God to show the right way. And, of course, Proverbs 14:12 pointed to a way, a wrong way, which leads one away from God, even though it may seem right, but it ultimately leads to death. Well, tonight we'll be looking at a contrast between two ways, the way of the sluggard and the way of the upright. And in looking at these two ways, we will see not so much of a contrast between lazy and diligent behaviors, but a contrast in character between the sluggard and the upright. And of course, a way in the Bible, if you recall, is a course and a direction. And it's something that proves itself over time. Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the sluggard is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. And here we have the results of the sluggard's way, and it is contrasted with the results of the upright's way. It is interesting that it does not contrast here the sluggard with the diligent, but with the upright. And the implication is that the sluggard is not upright, and that the upright is diligent. Now, just looking at the word sluggard, if we look at the word sluggard or similar words, we see also the slothful or the lazy in Proverbs. And this is used 17 times. Sluggard or slothful is used 17 times in Proverbs and is used in several different contexts or manners. First of all, we see in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8, and also Proverbs 24, that is a lack of work or of preparation or direction. And if we look at Proverbs 6, 6 through 8, we read, go to the ant, O sluggard, and observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. And the ant here has no chief but is engaging in self-directed work. The ant prepares for a time of scarcity during a time of plenty and works hard to gather in the harvest. And then Proverbs 24 says the sluggard does not plow after the autumn, or does not plow in season. Or we might say the sluggard does not plow in the spring. And then he does not reap in the harvest because he does not plow or does not prepare. So one way that we see that the sluggard works is a lack of work, preparation, or direction. And then Proverbs 6, 9 through 10 says, "How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come like a vagabond and your need like an armed man." So here we see a lack of activity of any kind, slumbering or sleeping. Proverbs 26:14 says, "As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed." So the sluggard here is seen as one who just sleeps and lays in bed. And then we see in Proverbs 13:4, craving. It says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing." So we see one of craving, one of desire, and one of covetousness, because the sluggard does not work and does not get what he needs or wants. Therefore, the result is that he craves and has nothing. And then Proverbs 12:24, we see a lack of choices. The ant, it says, and the diligent will rule, but he with a slack hand will be put to forced labor. That is, someone who does not work to get training or to develop some type of skill will be forced into situations to survive which may be grievous to them. So a lack of empowerment or a lack of choices comes to the person who does not work. And then Proverbs 12:27 says that there is a lack of performing of daily routines. It says, "A slothful man does not roast his prey." That is, he doesn't even cook it. The slothful man is one who doesn't do the normal things that he has to do each day to even eat. He perhaps doesn't do cleaning. He doesn't do anything that is required for the daily routines. He doesn't do his chores. He doesn't even want to cook or prepare his food. And then also, Proverbs 18:10 says, "He who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys." So there's a self-destruction that comes from him who does not work. Because if you do not work, you gradually bring destruction on yourself. And we look at the welfare state in our nation and really around the Western world that has turned from a safety net into basically a reward system for those who do not work. It has taken the dignity of work away from millions of people, especially men. And we see when one has that dignity of work taken away from him, he turns self-destructive. He turns to drugs, and the desire of the sluggard will actually put him to death. He wants, but he does not have the power to obtain, so he may engage in self-destructive behaviors, such as addictions. And then we also see in Proverbs 22:13 that the sluggard looks for an excuse not to work. He lives in fear. It says, "The sluggard says, there is a lion outside. I will be slain in the streets if I go out." So he may look for excuses to not work. There's all types of things he will do. He may get slain. So he lives in fear of what could happen if he goes out and takes risk. There's always a reason to postpone or put off work. And then we see in Proverbs 16, verse 6, 26, 16, and perhaps the most ironic one of all, is that it gets back to, as we mentioned, a character issue in the beginning. It says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer." You know, of all the people that may have an earthly reason to be proud due to accomplishments, the sluggard, although accomplishing nothing, is proud in his own eyes. Somehow, the fact that he has nothing is always someone else's fault. He's always blaming someone else. He thinks he has it all figured out. He somehow thinks he knows everything. And he becomes proud in his own eyes. So we see then the sluggard is really has a lack of character. in many ways. And then we see here that his way is as a hedge of thorns, or it's blocked with thorns. A hedge is often spoken of in Scripture as a wall of protection that kept out predators, and it usually consisted of intertwined thorn bushes that acted as sort of like a barbed wire or razor wire that kept out wild animals from crops. And oftentimes used in Scripture that God says he will put a hedge about his people to protect them from wild predators. Or it can even say that it will also, that God may remove the hedge, like it says in Isaiah chapter 5, that he will remove that protection from God's people when they are sinning. Hosea 2:6 speaks of a similar context of what we're looking at here in Proverbs 15:19, where it says, you know, after previously it was condemning Israel's idolatry, it states, therefore I will hedge her up, I will hedge up her way with thorns, and I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths. So here there is a picture of God sort of trapping Israel, or sort of keeping Israel from being able to move forward or find direction or paths. And that's the same idea here in Proverbs 15:19, where it says, the way of the sluggard is as a hedge of thorns. That hedge of thorns keeps the sluggard from going forward. It's blocking their way. It's keeping them from getting things done. This can be internal or external, and it can be a general clutter in the mind, in our spirit. It can take the form of unconfessed sin. It can be from fear, anxiety, guilt, a lack of knowledge, a lack of skill, a lack of peace, distractions, relationship issues, procrastination, and sometimes even literal physical clutter. Oftentimes there is a lack of organization, and oftentimes most likely this is mental and spiritual, and it can get in the way of one doing their work. If one's mind is cluttered, if one's spirit is cluttered with all types of things, it can be as a thorn, like a hedge of thorns, keeping them from doing what they need to do. And he does not want to take the time to purify or set in order the things, or to organize himself to be able to move forward and to get things done. This hedge of thorns can range from anything like being their lives being a total mess due to all types of sin, or even more subtle forms of laziness, such as engaging in busy work. The reality is, to some degree, we all can struggle with laziness. We can all struggle with the issues of getting things done. We can oftentimes procrastinate on doing difficult tasks that must be done, such as having that difficult conversation with our spouse or children, or that very difficult task that we must do, that report that we must make, or making that phone call that we might not want to make, or doing any kind of task that presents to us a challenge. And so we can engage in all types of busy work that replaces the actual work that we're supposed to be doing. And there's all types of ways in which we can do that. I ran across a kind of a pointed and somewhat humorous essay online that I just thought was really funny, because it kind of reminds me of me sometimes when it talks about a thing. It's called Doing the Thing. And of course, the thing is referring to the important thing that I need to get done. And it compares what the thing is and what the thing is not. And it says, preparing to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Scheduling time to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Making a to-do list for the thing isn't doing the thing. Telling people you're going to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Messaging friends who may or may not be doing the thing isn't doing the thing. Writing a big tweet about how you're going to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Hating yourself for not doing the thing isn't doing the thing. Hating or envying other people who have done the thing isn't doing the thing. Hating obstacles or getting frustrated with obstacles in the way of doing the thing isn't doing the thing. Fantasizing of all the accolades you will get once you do the thing isn't doing the thing. Reading about how to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Reading about how other people did the thing isn't doing the thing. The only thing that is doing the thing is doing the thing. And so I found that kind of interesting, how we oftentimes, it's sort of like, again, a lion is in the street, we'll make excuses and we'll create these hedges, so to speak, these thorn hedges of getting things that get in the way of us doing the thing. What is it we're supposed to be doing? What is that task? What is the core of our work, of what we are supposed to be doing? And sometimes I think even the church can do that, as we can do all kinds of other things other than the thing. What is the thing? Well, the thing is preaching. The thing is teaching. The thing is serving. But we get involved in all kinds of other activities other than the thing. So we see then the path of the upright. That's the path of the sluggard. What is the path of the upright? It's interesting, I was just looking in a concordance at the word upright. And with one exception in Galatians 2:14, the word upright is only used in the Old Testament. And 81% of the time it's used in the poetical books, in Job, in Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. The word upright is used as usually one of two ways when it's speaking of a man. Of course, sometimes it just talks about upright, as walking upright in terms of actually standing on your feet. But most of the time it is used, is either upright in heart or looking at one's conduct or the way they live and the way they live their lives. Just an example of each one of those. Psalm 7:10 says, God saveth the upright in heart. Psalm 37:14 says, the wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. So upright has to do with our conduct. And really, as we look at their uprightness of one's spirit, we can look all the way back just to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths or your way. So one of the ways that perhaps this is the greatest definition of the upright that we have, is one who trusts in the Lord with all of their heart and does not lean to their own understanding, and in all their ways acknowledges him. And what is it that is promised in Proverbs 3:6? He shall direct your paths. And here in Proverbs 15:19, we see that the path or the way of the upright is a highway. And what a contrast to the sluggard whose way is strewn with thorns, with thorn bushes. His upright path is clear and it is unobstructed. This comes back again to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct or make clear your paths. And really, it's interesting as you look at different people and how some people can get so much done. It is amazing how some people can get so much done. And others of us, I'll put myself in there, it's just hard to get things done. How is that? It just seems like some people are just flying down a highway, going 70 miles an hour, and some of us are just kind of getting through things and pushing through things. But really, one of the keys to this is to look to the Lord with all of your heart. And the reality is, everyone has the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours a day. We all have 7 days a week and 30 days in a month and so forth. Everyone has the same amount of time. But yet some are able to get much more done than others. And that perhaps is because their ways are strewn with thorn bushes or thorn hedges, and the other's way is clear because they are focused on God. They are trusting in the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul, and they are acknowledging God in all of their ways. Any questions or comments on that? Yeah, I think so. I think that the, you know, you're talking about the path of the upright is a highway. Yeah, I think so. It, of course, you know, Proverbs is a very practical book. When it comes, there's so many things in Proverbs that talk about, you know, just dealing with people, and it's a book filled with wisdom. But certainly, when it comes to the way, you know, you think about when a person is, their consciences are clear and their hearts are clear and their hearts are pure, that they have just an unobstructed way of going through life in general. And you're right, it's not so much in getting things done, tasks completed, but more just the fact that they're able to move forward and not, they're with a clear conscience. But yeah, good question. Okay.